Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Living and Thriving, Living and Thriving, Living and Thriving with Rusty. Living and Thriving with Rusty.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon to all my blessed beloveds out there in Radio Land. It's Living and Thriving time again next week. Is that exciting or what? Melissa Keto is an angel guidance coach who will be dialing in, and she's going to talk to us about what that actually means. She's been doing this since she was 12 years old, probably about 10 years now. Anyway, she is a consultant for the Way Showers College, and she has an ebook, How to Communicate with Your Angels. So Melissa will be dialing in at 929-477-1165, and I'm super excited to have her on the show today. Today was a very interesting day for myself. As you all know, my poor kid has been so sick, and school has not been very open to accommodating her. And so we finally had that meeting yesterday. That she will be up and ready to go. She's been battling a very large dose of mono. And on top of that, she's got a chest cold and a fever this week. So it's just not had a break at all. So thank you for all the prayers and all the love notes that you guys have sent. Hopefully this can just get back on her healthy autoimmune feet and continue to be just like this really cool kid. I love her. Two days. She's amazing. Great weather down here is absolutely gorgeous. It's like this midline of gonna storm, not gonna storm, because we're right on the ocean. You never know, the wind can just move a storm miles away in seconds. But we kind of have this middle of the road feeling of it getting ready to storm, but we're not sure yet because it's still partially sunny. It's quite cool. And let's see what else. Next week we have quite a few people coming on, and it's just been really incredible. I'm, as you know, I'm gearing away from Blog Talk, going on to Spreaker, and I'm on VIP radio networks as well now, which it just extends this radio show even further, and it's been amazing to watch this show grow in the way that it has. And my inbox is just completely packed. One day I'll be able to have an assistant with all of these. All right. I think that was Melissa trying to dial in on my phone, not in. No, she's saying that it's not letting her on. Very interesting. Hold on, guys. One of the many reasons that I get frustrated with Blog Talk. Let's see. Let's see if we can do that. Oh, there she is.
Hi there. Sorry about that.
That's okay, love bug. I was panicking because Blog Talk has a lot of technical issues. That's why I'm trying to steer away from them. And I'm like, oh, my God, I know that she's there. I can feel her. Hi, Melissa. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you. Thank you for having me on.
Well, I'm so excited to learn more about you. Now, originally you're from New Zealand. How did on earth did you end up coming over to this side of the world?
Yeah, it was kind of a series of divine accidents, I guess. I actually had moved over to the UK and was living and teaching over there, but I'd been on this spiritual journey for a while, and I made my way over to a retreat in Iowa, of all places, and, you know, just met some people there, ended up getting married, and just kind of following that path, and ended up living in the United States. And it never was something I thought I would do, actually, but looking back, I can see how it has been in alignment with my purpose and, you know, getting this work out there to the world. So.
And you've been doing this since you were 12 years old. So I'm just sitting here kind of with gaga eyes going, wow, you are so cool. I love stuff like this. And for whatever reason, I can't do this. But you're going to teach us maybe how we can. But first, I want to know who you are, what you do, and what makes you get up every morning. What's exciting and ooey gooey about you?
Yeah, well, I like I said, I've been on this spiritual journey since I was a teenager. Initially, I wasn't seeking it out. It was something that my mother was really involved with, and she kind of just exposed me to it, never forcing it down my throat or anything like that, but she opened the door for me, you know. And so I'd say I'm on this journey of self-discovery always. I've actually recently got divorced, so that's been a big learning and growth and transition and change for myself. And my passion is, you know, sharing these tools and techniques with other people so that they can tap into their inner guidance, their intuition, their spirit guides, this whole, you know, world that seems a little far out there. I help people to kind of make that real, to make it a practical part of their daily life. And I know that it's helped me so much, which is why I'm passionate about sharing it and kind of making it more simple for people. You know, it doesn't have to be complicated or difficult, you know, to have this. Just tune into guidance.
I think that we are very self-destructive. And those who have followed me over the years know exactly where I'm going with this because, you know, sometimes I feel like I beat the subject to death. But we overstimulate ourselves so much that having that quiet time to really tune in to our internal being is far and few between. I think we just are filled with distraction. And when we do have quiet downtime, I think it's very intimidating because you're actually listening to yourself for once instead of the stimulation. And that's just kind of the way the society is at this point. What kind of guidance would you give individuals who really want to tap out and yet kind of feel afraid to have that silence?
Yeah, well, what's important to understand with that is that we have two parts to our nature. We have our intellectual nature, which is the thinking, organizing part of us. And then we have our feeling nature, which you could describe as your intuition, your true feelings, your sensitivity, and your experiences. And ideally, we want to have a balance of those aspects. Our society, planet Earth, is much more in the intellectual side. It's more in that masculine energy, very driven, focus on doing. And I think a big part of this shift in the spiritual journey that many people are on right now is coming back to the balance. You know, not saying that feminine is better than masculine. We need both, but it's gotten way skewed to one side, right? So people who, like you were describing, are having trouble, you know, slowing down and tuning in, it's because we're not taught to focus on that part of ourselves. We're almost taught to be afraid of it. You know, when I remember when I was young, if I would feel something, like maybe I felt something under my bed or had a dream or something, my mother would just say, oh, no, it's just your imagination. And so I thought that I was just making it up, that it wasn't real. And that's how, you know, as young kids, we're very sensitive, but we start to shut it down because of the messages that we get from outside of us, parents, teachers, society, whatever. So it can feel uncomfortable to start opening up that part of ourselves again because of that programming. But it's really where the true power lies. Your feelings come first. You know, your feelings, your intuition guides you to what you're here to do, to your purpose, to what's going to be most successful and fulfilling for you. And your intellectual part, the thinking part, is really there just to organize ourselves enough to follow through on those desires and feelings. But a lot of times we use that part of us to tell yourself all the reasons why you can't do it, right? Like, oh, I'm not good enough, or I'm not ready, or that's crazy. And so it's like really working against ourselves. So when we're in balance with these parts, the energy will flow as feel, think, act, feel, think, act. But I can still fall into this pattern. I'm sure some people listening might relate, is this thing of like feel, think, maybe act, maybe not, like stop myself from acting, you know? And so then we've kind of blocked our flow and wonder why things, life feels like a struggle.
Well, and I always use the analogy that if you were to sit back and have quiet time and look at the ocean, which is my favorite, the ocean's my favorite place to just let go, because it's so miraculous and it's so scary. You know, the ocean's so calm and little ripples, and it's got beautiful things in it and creatures and life. It's its own little universe. And in a split second, your boat could turn right over. You know, the ocean could have a surge of energy that just rages, and a storm comes, and it's out of control, and you spiral in that. And so I think of life very much like the ocean. You're going to have your time where you're just kind of cruising along, hanging out with the cool kids, all the dolphins, you know. And then sometimes a big storm comes and just throws you for a loop. But getting back to that calmness, that internal place, you have to be able to tap out of the chaos, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think in, like you were describing earlier, in this time in our life, we really have to filter. You know, I limit my time on social media because I can get sucked into an energy that is not constructive for me. I think it has its purpose. It has its amazing positive benefits. You know, we can connect with like-minded people through that avenue. But, you know, I don't watch the news. I limit my time on the internet, etc., because I think it's just really essential to keep a positive state of consciousness. And that way we can spread that more to the people around us, to the environments around us, and not have to keep, you know, just feeling so stressed. People are so busy and stressed right now and caught up in fear. And it doesn't have to be that way, you know. That's why I love this, what I work with people on helping them to connect with their angels and guides, because your angels are always solution oriented. They're always positive. And so by tapping into that energy, we can start to see possibilities and solutions for our life that maybe would not occur to us otherwise. It's having that big picture bird's eye view on, you know, who you are and what you're here to do.
It's so funny we're having this conversation, and, you know, I don't believe in coincidence. I believe everything is purposeful. And the universe laughs at me all the time because I'm sitting there going, oh, man, really? And the universe is like, ha-ha, got you. But just at 6:40 this morning, I had this meeting, this team meeting with my daughter's teachers. And my biggest issue with her school right now, because she's very sick, is the fact that they give a lot of problems, but they don't give a lot of solutions. Like, they don't have problem-solving skills anymore. And so the principal asked me to ask the teachers or tell the teachers what I need, and I said, I need solutions.
Right.
I need help solving this problem, because my daughter has severe mono, and if she can make it for 2 hours, that's 4 days of sleep that she has to have just to make it to school for 2 hours. So this isn't working the way, you know, we would like it to work. I need creative solutions. And they kind of looked at me sideways, like, what does that mean? And I'm going, but you're the educators. You're supposed to be creating problems and creating the solutions or the answers so that people can grow from this. And I don't know where that in our society has broken down. Does that make sense? Like,
yeah,
that,
you know what's coming to me with that is because we're not, as a society, we're not focused on people's individual uniqueness. You know, everybody has such a unique personality, a unique purpose and what they came to do. And it's almost like it's easier to sort of just put you in a box. You know, luckily my son, I have a 6-year-old, he's assimilated to school fairly well, even though he is sensitive. But I know I have a friend who, her daughter is what we would call a prophetic. These type of people just know things. They're very creative. They use their imagination a lot. And she's starting to get messages from the teacher that she has ADHD, you know, and it's like, you're just trying to label this child and stop her creativity, you know. So
right.
So that's, it's a tough one with kids for sure. I don't have the answers for that because I have a challenge with my own child, but it's like, if we can just more and more, you know, in our own small ways, really value each person's free will, their individuality and their purpose, and know that not everybody's going to fit into this sort of box that we fit them in. One of my little beasts too is like this pressure on children to go to college, like that's the be all and end all, and it's great for some people, but it might not be everybody's path, you know. So for me, what this comes down to is like, what is it that you truly, truly desire? A lot of people don't know because they got so used to everybody else telling them what they should be doing. But if you really want to be in alignment with your purpose, it's really being honest with yourself about what is it that I really, really want, you know, and releasing any limitations that are making you feel like that's not possible. That's where the magic can start to happen.
I think, and back to the question, it's really an open-ended question, because it's like, where did we stop solving problems? Why is that a difficult place for us? And I agree with you 100% that it's easier to shove everybody in a box and try to label them, you know, all one way. And there is so much individuality that it's very difficult to teach or train all of the different perspectives. So, yes, we kind of have to herd our society. But on the other hand, it shouldn't be so difficult to populate original thought, or at least creative conversations. And we stop ourselves from having a creation conversation. And it's just, it's mind-boggling to me that
I think it's
how we
For me, as someone that wasn't born in the United States, I noticed this has kind of come from the schooling system here, where, because I actually used to be a school teacher too, where kids are, I remember I was teaching, kids were afraid to raise their hand because they didn't want to get the wrong answer, so they just wouldn't even try.
Right.
You know, and in my schooling in New Zealand, it wasn't so much like that. It was more, you know, public speaking and creativity, et cetera. Not perfect schooling by any means, but a little bit more of that focus on individuality. So I think people here in this country in particular just really need to, you know, start asking yourself some questions and stop coming to so many conclusions. That's helpful in, you know, being solution-oriented. Because the more we focus on our problems, we just kind of create more problem, right? It's what you focus on expands. So one way to flip yourself out of that, if you are kind of getting caught in problems or other people's problems, is to, you know, just start asking a question, even like, okay, what else is possible here, or what could be a solution? And the cool thing about when you can ask your angels questions is you can tap into their bigger picture perspective. They're not part of planet Earth energy, so they can see things that we can't see. And they can give us clues on the good timing to do something, or what is the best step toward your goals, or things that we just can't see for ourselves. I think part of that conversation we're having here of like, okay, what is a solution? And also thinking outside of the box, like I know my angels give me ideas and impressions that I never would have thought of myself. Because they can just, you know, give us clues of these amazing possibilities. We're kind of taught in our society there's a right way and a wrong way. Like there's only two choices.
Right.
But really there's unlimited possibilities, and that's what you can tap into with the help of your guide.
Well, and that's why I'm so excited about having you on today, because I believe that there's infinite universe for a reason, and that we're infinitely spiraling. We're surfing on a rock, man. We're surfing on a rock. It's a cool rock. We just glide through the universe, and we should lay back and appreciate the sun and the moon. That's my attitude. But collectively, that's not the attitude that's placed. We're very focused in a micro-universe in our own little worlds that we create. And I think that really challenges expansion, you know? And I don't know how, I'm a curious television kind of a person. I would rather read a book or paint or listen to really good blues than watch the tube. And for me and myself, that makes me extremely happy. But how do you expand other people, and how do you get the idea across that your angels are hanging out? Some of them are high-fiving because you got it right, and other ones are trying to push you down the path saying, no, you're going the wrong direction, man. So how do you really articulate to people that the universe is so vast in that regards, and that you really do have help if you just quiet down?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think there are a lot of people seeking, and they're seeking, how can I, you know, tap into something that is comforting and reassuring? And, you know, if people aren't seeking that, they're probably not going to hear my message, to be honest. So, but there's a lot of people seeking, and I think a lot of people kind of aren't talking about it publicly. They're maybe just doing it within their own home, you know. And so I'm big about creating community as well. There's a time and a place for meditating on your own. That's important. But I think there's a power in connecting with others who are on a similar journey. And we can actually grow exponentially faster when we do that. So, you know, just create what I, the answer I would give to your question is, you know, creating opportunities for people to come together and to be vulnerable and to share, hey, this is where I'm at and this is where I want to be. So how can I get there? You know, it's a journey. There's never really an end destination because there's always more growth and experiences to be had. But yeah, there's a lot of pressure from the environment and from society. And so I think that we just have to stay in our own lane and know that when I'm positive within myself and the people around me, that does have ripple effects out. As much as, you know, we can turn on the TV and it seems like everything's in dire circumstance, they're not putting the positive stuff on TV, right? So that's what I endeavor to do in my life and to share with others, is really acknowledge and see, emphasize the positive things that are going on in your life and in your community, et cetera. And that just, you know, expands it out even more.
I 100% agree with that. I would rather have a conversation about the good stuff, and that's why I host this radio show. It's so near and dear to my heart, because they get wonderful people on the show to share their story like you, and that in itself creates a ripple effect. It might be a little tiny one, but it's there. You know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and it all helps.
And I'm excited.
It really does.
Yes.
Like, even individuals think that they're not making much of a difference, but they are. If they're positive, and if you're even just, you know, sharing a smile with the person in the supermarket, like, it all makes a big difference. And again, it's like, where are we putting our attention, you know? Are you focusing on your own problems, or are you focusing on things that are going right? You know, it's not to be Pollyanna and go, oh, you know, I just will never look at my problems, because we have to. That's part of our growth, too. But it's like, how involved are you getting in it? Are you making it like, you know, a big deal that becomes all-encompassing? Or are you just staying solution-oriented and working with what you have, you know?
Well, and I think everybody needs to have their temper tantrums. I think everybody needs to experience anger, sadness, joy, depression, and, you know, that whole fuck you. Like, people need that, but they don't need to wallow in it. And I think that's the difference.
Yes.
And you know, it's okay to scream and have a fit and roll your eyes and slam your door. Don't slam it too hard because it will break. Trust me on this, I've done it. But at the end of the day, you pull yourself back together and you put on your voice paint and you just say, you know what, honey? It's on. And you take that energy and you bring it on and you push through whatever lesson is given to you.
Yeah.
And it's just, I think we get really stuck in a wallowing place.
Yeah, you know what's coming to me as you say that is there's such a strong belief in our society and within people that of the right and wrong, you know, and when you really realize that there's no right or wrong, it's not, you don't have to judge yourself so much. I was working with a group of women last night, and one of them was saying, you know, I just feel so bad about myself because I go to work and all I want to do when I get home is just veg on the couch. And she was really beating herself up about it. And the other woman that was facilitating with me were like, we're trying to help her to shift that, going, hey, this is what I need at this time in my life. I am going to enjoy resting every night when I get home from work, and actually seeing that as a positive thing had such a shift on her energy, you know?
Absolutely. And I that was something that was really hard for me to accept within my own personal experience, because I'm one of those people that I have to go, do, you know, I need to be on top of the world. I need to write 300 words a night. I have to do the dishes and the laundry and the mopping and the cleaning and the this and the that and get it all done in one day. And then I got really, really, really sick, to the point where I'm on morphine at the hospital sick, and we couldn't figure out what was going on, blah, blah, blah. Turned out I have an autoimmune disease. And I had to go through a process of learning self-maintenance, and I have to spend a night or two after work on the couch recovering from all of the stressors that I put on myself, because for some reason in my head I feel like I have to take on the whole world all by myself. And it's not true. It's just a story in my head. But as I coach and as I grow and as I write and learn about other people, I don't feel like I'm alone. I feel like a lot of people feel that it has to be done right now, today, right now. And though I fell sick with an autoimmune disease and I have had to retrain myself, not everybody's going to fall sick that way, but they have to retrain themselves. And it's really a hard emotional internal dialogue to break free from that heavy obligatory pattern that we've created.
Yeah. Yeah, I get that. I've done that too, that just do, go. And again, this is about the balance of masculine and feminine energy. So entrained in us to always be doing and accomplishing more and putting more, you know, fitting more stuff in, being productive, doing more in a shorter space of time, right? And that, especially if you are female, but even if you're a male too listening, it's like that will just become so draining on the body. We weren't built for that. You know, we're built for balance, built for, you know, the masculine is great for accomplishing and getting something out there, going for what I want. But then there's that place of just stepping back into the feminine and just sort of resting and receiving. And I'm always amazed that if someone, you know, a client signs up for a session with me or something of that nature, it never comes in when I'm sitting at my desk. Like, it always comes in when I'm going out, you know, having fun or resting or asleep. It's just so interesting that the receiving of abundance usually comes when we're not working.
Because we're not focused on a particular thing. I've learned that throw it out there and walk away from it grows on its own.
Yeah.
You don't have to push it.
Yeah. And the other thing with, you know, with people that want to develop their intuition and get some messages from their angels, you might have noticed that those amazing sort of insights and ideas and impressions will come, you know, when you're driving or when you're in the shower or when you're going for a walk, because that's that time where your intellect's kind of busy enough doing, maybe if you're driving, right? So your intellect has to do the act of driving, but it's sort of automatic enough to where you're actually able to just relax and receive some guidance, right? In those quiet moments. Because I share this with my clients all the time. I can get into that mode, definitely, of like being busy and do. And that I'm more disconnected from guidance if I'm in that mode. So as soon as I take that moment to reflect or just slow down a little bit, the answer, the solution pops in, right? The thing that I maybe was struggling with and I don't know what to do in this certain area, even, you know, with parenting or relationships or my work, it's like all of a sudden when I just rest, this amazing insight will pop in, or an idea or a vision that, and I think the messages from our angels are usually not long and complicated. That's something that people don't realize. It's just very subtle, very simple, but it will have this moment of immense sort of clarity, like an aha moment kind of a feeling.
This is an exciting time. This is the time where you get to tell us where we can find out more about you. And then we're going to switch gears a little bit. So where do we find out more about you?
Yeah. So if people want to learn more about me and, you know, start delving into connecting with their intuition and their angels, my website is communicatewithangels.com. And I also have a YouTube channel, Communicate with Angels. But on my website, communicatewithangels.com, I have a resource for people they can get for free, the 3 steps to connect with your angels, so you can start, you know, just opening yourself up to this communication. You know, everybody has it. We do it really all the time without realizing, but to be able to be more conscious of that and to know some steps that you can take to receive more and to be able to ask for more help will just really amplify. You know, in the Bible, they say, ask and you shall, and it says, ask and you shall receive, right? But we forget to ask. So what I really help people with is, you know, learning how to ask and get that guidance in a more direct way rather than just the random signs that you might get on occasion.
And that's the gear we're going to switch to. We're going to switch to the gear of how do we, aside from just kind of taking time out, which I think we need to do anyway, but how do we connect with our angels? What is that? Do we call them? Is there some special way that we can start practicing?
Yeah. So a simple way to start, actually, there's a couple things that come to mind with that. One is that you can notice when your angels are around you, when you have a feeling of like chills or goosebumps on your body. That's a really sure sign that they're connecting with you in some way. So if you feel the chills, it could be a sign to pay attention, a confirmation that you're on the right track, reassurance. So it's really good to just pay attention to whatever was happening at that moment when you felt the chills and say, oh, what is it that my angels are wanting to communicate to me? And the other tip I would give is you can just start by asking for even just one word or two words. Maybe there's an area of your life where you would like a little help or need a message around. You just kind of take a few deep breaths and relax. And I also teach people another method of, you know, being more connected as well. But deep breaths is a great place to start. Take some deep breaths. And then just say, guidance or angels, give me one word. Take a deep breath and relax. And you just notice that a word will come into your mind. First impression is the best, right? A lot of people will start talking themselves out of that word as soon as they get it. Like, oh, no, I just made that up, or it's not real, or that can't be right. But there is definitely a level of trust that's required here where you just put that doubting Thomas aside and go, okay, that's the word I got. And you can expand that to two words if you want and start getting some simple messages coming through. And you can interpret that message for yourself, right? There's no right or wrong answer there. So I remember for a good while, whenever I would ask my angels for a keyword just for the day, what is my keyword for today? What's something to focus on today? I got patience a lot, and I also get relax a lot. So I hear you on the busy, busy thing, because like I said, I can definitely fall into that. So often the message from my angels is relax, you know, just allow yourself to relax, to enjoy, to be in the moment. So that's, you know, just a simple way to start getting some guidance from that higher source of wisdom that's available to you.
And I think that's the largest message that everyone could appreciate is just relax. The bills are going to come,
mm-hmm.
and life is going to happen, and chaos is going to hit you once in a while, and this is the reality of the way this works.
Yep.
And that's really hard for people. Don't you think? I mean, I know it was really hard for me for years. It took me years to figure out that, oh, wait, shit's going to happen no matter what I do. So I might as well put some jokes in between.
Right, because there can be this misconception if you're on a spiritual path that everything should be perfect now.
We're still human.
Like, you know, soul sister friends where we just sort of laugh and joke about that now. We're like, it's not going to happen. So we actually attract challenges into our life because of the growth that we can have from it as well. But again, it's all about the attitude that you have toward it. You know, something recently, I was thinking about this morning, didn't work out the way I expected it to. But I said, okay, that's fine. And I just kind of stayed relaxed and said, okay, what else, what's next? Whereas I see people a lot focus on, you know, what's wrong with me? Why didn't this work out? What did I do wrong? Right? And there's really no such thing. It's just, I think there's a power in being detached too, of detachment from, what am I trying to say here? Detachment from your problems, detachment from, you know, picking up on other people's energy and thoughts and feelings, and just kind of, again, staying in your own lane, staying in your true feelings.
Well, and I love the fact that there are more and more and more people who are out there trying to challenge that detachment in the sense of, you know, there's people like you and other individuals that are really actively gathering other people and helping them stay in a positive zone. And positivity isn't something that, you know, I think there's some confusion in the mass media about staying positive and what that actually means. It doesn't mean, like we were talking before, that you're not going to have a bad day. And it doesn't mean that you're not going to stub your toe or, like your favorite radio talk show, blocking your teeth. It doesn't mean how you approach happening. And that's what it means. It's not denying the emotion or the situation. It's just trying to find a little humor and a little lightness to it, right?
Yes. And one thing I talk about a lot in my work is the importance of regrouping. It's not something many people talk about or even think about, which is this idea that if we're here to learn and grow, and every experience is really an opportunity to learn and grow. And all I take with me from this lifetime is the experiences and the growth that I have, you know. So I think another part of that detachment is detachment from the material world, right? Like, enjoy it. There's nothing wrong with enjoying abundance in your life, but always maintaining a detachment that doesn't define me. You know, I am a soul. I am energy. I'm not defined by the house that I have, the car that I drive, you know, all that stuff. So regrouping is the opportunity to look at an experience that I've had and just take some time to reflect on what is the growth that I had from that? What did I learn from it? What would I do differently next time? And that way you can sort of continue to evolve. But this thing we've been talking about of just rush, rush, do, 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 you're not giving yourself a chance to regroup and to reflect and to say, okay, what have I learned from this? And if it happened again, what would I do differently? How would I approach it? You know, that's where the growth happens. And a lot of people just don't give themselves the chance to do that or even think that is that important. But it's very, very important. And so I do that within myself with my guidance each night. And I also, you know, just have some amazing friends in my life that I know that I can trust and that I can just share things with. Like if I'm going through something and I really can't shake it off on my own, I reach out and get some support and talk through it. And I do have some amazing people in my life that are very good at focusing on the solutions, not the problems, which is really important. And I think that's what I do for my clients. They come to me with all the problems and I'm like, okay, cool, that's what's going on. Now, what's the solution? Where can we go from here, you know?
Well, that's what we do. You know, we're really good at helping other people. We're not always so good at helping ourselves.
Of course.
It's like we have blinders on ourselves. I can write anybody's resume but my own, and I just stare at the paper going, I do what? I still said
yeah. Very normal.
Thank you. Ooh, I was worried. So give us your top three tips, tricks, and fun things you can do to relax so that you can hang out with your angels.
Yeah. So one thing is that the first important step to connecting with your angels is to be relaxed, right? If you're tense, you're sort of energetically cutting them off. So we need to, it sounds very woo-woo, but to raise your vibration, which really just means to relax. But it's also important to kind of clear your energy of anything that you've been picking up from the environment, because we're so sensitive, right? We're picking up stuff without realizing it. So deep breath is a form of cleansing. I teach a spiritual cleansing technique that, you know, is available that people can learn to just be connected to relax. I love to do yoga. That gives me that same effect of, okay, I'm just really in my own energy, right? So that's step one, is we need to connect. Because if we're not connected energetically, we can invite other things in and it's just not clear, not as distinct. I guess my second tip would be to ask, you know, get in the habit of asking a question. We often don't think that way, right? So, okay, what do I need to know here? It's not that your angels are going to tell you what to do. There's no such thing as shoulds. They're not there to be your boss. What they are there for is to help you with what you desire to do and to give you some suggestions and help to be in the right place at the right time and to understand things at a deeper level.
It's kind of like if you were to sit back and relax for a minute, and you're walking, just say hypothetically it's dark out, you're walking down the street, and you're like, I'm going to take a right over here. But then your gut says, hey, you might want to actually take a left. It's that kind of instinct. It's that kind of sign, right, where you just kind of get this, well, you might want to, and it comes from a different place in your body. It's not necessarily in your head, but it's more in your gut. That would be more of an angel tapping you, saying, hey, I think you might want to take a left today. No, it's all right. I'm just saying.
Exactly.
And you take that left, and you just miss getting mugged. I mean, it happens all the time.
Wow. Oh, no doubt. Yeah. It's like that instinct, that gut feeling to be in the right place at the right time. And, you know, I have an example that's coming to mind. It's a little thing, but those little things are important, right? So recently I've moved to a new city and I'm about an hour and a half drive from where I used to live. So it is close enough for me to go back and visit some of the friends in my old neighborhood if I want to. I didn't move to the other side of the country or anything. And I'd started to feel guilty that I wasn't kind of keeping up connections with my friends. And I have a free weekend coming up. I was like, oh, who would I really like to hang out with this weekend? Who can I get in touch with? And I saw a picture in my mind of a woman that I just met here in my new town. And so that was a message from my guidance that it's at this time, it's more important for me actually to develop new friendships than to focus so much on the old ones. It's not that I don't care about those people and I want to shut them out of my life. I don't. But my angels were kind of advising me on what's maybe more in alignment for me in my bigger picture, my purpose at this time. And so, you know, the guilt was something that I was feeling, but they helped me to sort of detach from that and say, here's what's most in alignment for you. You know, no guilt about it, just follow that path right now. So this is how we can, you know, because we get in our own way so much, right? And they'll just be giving us those little ideas and suggestions to guide you to what's most in alignment with you. You certainly still don't have to do it. You know, you can follow, do something different, and they will not try to stop you or anything like that, judge you. But they're just kind of, they see that purpose and that niche a little more clearly than we do. And so there'll be just those little nudges. It's very subtle. It's not usually, you know, a loud voice or something very obvious. It's that still small voice inside, or like you were saying, that gut instinct. And it's very easy for your mind to start talking you out of it because it can be so subtle. But that's that importance of being relaxed, because then you're tuned into that, the subtleties, the energy that you're picking up on. Because they don't communicate through our five physical senses. They communicate through our spiritual gifts. And we have four of them. One is intuition or clairaudience. So that's when you're hearing guidance. One is vision. So that's more the pictures. Prophecy is inner knowings, just a sense of things. And then feeling is more, how does this feel to me? Does it feel light and expansive, or does it feel heavy? Is one another good tool to work with. So we have all four of those gifts, and we can use all of them. We actually have one that's our primary gift. So my first gift is vision. So a lot of times I will see pictures, just like experience where I just saw this woman's face in my mind, and that was like my angel's way of showing me, hey, this is the person to connect with today. So
and what kind of fun things can we do to get creative? Like for me personally, I love to just throw in tunes and sing at the top of my lungs, even though I probably shouldn't do that. Like America's Got Talent is not going to tap me on the shoulder by any stretch of the imagination, but it still raises my vibration and gives me such joy. What other kinds of things would you offer or suggest to kind of get into that space where you've detached from the outside chaos and now you're getting good with yourself, you know?
I love that. That's been actually my favorite thing to do since I've been living alone. I've never lived alone before in my life. And I'm like, hey, I can turn up the music and dance around the house. You know, there's something to be said for getting in your true feelings. That's what that is for me. And I think a connection with our body is very important. That's going to look different things for different people. I wouldn't want to define that for somebody, but, you know, people can ask themselves, what is it that's going to help me to just be in my joy, be in my feelings, to sing, to dance, to go for a walk, to work out, like, and be in nature? You know, these are the things that in our society sort of aren't seen as that important, but, man, it is important. You know, give yourself that gift.
Creation of your space. I think it's really important to be in tune with how your house is. I don't think people should be obsessive compulsive and clean every nook and cranny every single second of the day, unless it makes you happy. But I think your environment also has a huge part of whether or not you're opening up and allowing.
Yeah, totally. Because a cluttered environment, it just energetically creates pressure. I know if my house starts to get messy, I know that I'm putting pressure on myself, getting out of balance. Very interesting. There's just that. And I've recently moved too, and I was quite happy to just have minimal furniture in here. What I did was I put a lot of like beautiful, bright, colorful paintings up, and that just helps me to feel really kind of relaxed and clear. That clear energy happens from a compact environment. I definitely agree with you. I think it's worth just investing a little bit of time in keeping things compact and organized, because then we can, I know for me, it's just like, oh, take a deep breath. I can have some clarity and some peace here now. So.
It's great. Okay, well, I've got things lined up. They're, you know, it's not perfect. It doesn't need to be perfect. And now I can take time for myself.
Yes.
And
yes,
just
sure.
Be in that. And it's lovely. And I think that, you know, the people that you involve in your life personally also is a very huge way to get good with listening to your inner self, because you co-inspire each other. Well, hopefully.
Oh,
this
definitely.
Is right, what it be with, right?
Yes. Yeah, that is really essential. That's something that's really important to me. I learned a few years ago when I attended a retreat that it's okay to be choosy with who I spend time with. You know, previous to that, I would feel like I owed people something, or I'd feel guilty, you know, for not having them in my life or something. And I really just, you know, took on this new concept, value for myself of, it's okay to be choosy about who I invest my time in. And so I know for me, there are some people where I can really open up to them and share and be vulnerable. And I think the most important thing for me in friendships, relationships, et cetera, is someone that's not judgmental, is going to help and support me without trying to change me. it's a rare but important quality that I always look for when I'm, you know, forming relationships, whom I'm going to invest in, because, you know, critical people really just have troubles within themselves at the end of the day. It's okay to be around like-minded people too. We are going to at times outgrow the people around us. If you are on a spiritual growth path and you're growing at a faster pace than the people around you, sometimes they might want to slow you down because they don't relate to you anymore. You start to trigger them because they haven't taken the steps for themselves. But I do believe there is an abundance in relationships. You know, people talk about abundance and they think it's just money, but it's not just money. Abundance is also trusting that if I let go of this certain relationship in my life, there is an abundance of people that I can attract to replace that, to have a new connection, a new relationship with someone that is going to be supportive and build me. This is actually something that's been very present for me in the last year or two, is this idea of having spiritual contracts with people. And when I have a spiritual contract, it could be any type of relationship, right? A work relationship, a friendship, etc. But there's a building energy. There's something that's mutually beneficial in our, you know, connection together. And if a contract is finished, you know, it's time to let them go and to let them be on their path. But I know I've had a tendency to want to hold on to those contracts for too long because I fear losing them or losing something of myself. I don't know. But there's definitely an evolution that happens in having those connections in our life. It's one of the biggest growth areas that we can have, is our contracts and our relationships.
Well, I think it's really important to distinguish the reality versus the need. So for me, what I've observed is that I'm a people person. I love people. I love learning about people. I love finding out what's really gooey on the inside of them. However, I don't want people in my life that are hurting other people. You know, that kind of stuff I avoid. And it's easy in the way we live now as a species to just be more of a hobbit or a hermit than to stick our necks out and try to make friends or have relationships, because relationships can be rather hard, you know? And I think the distinguishing factor is we're trying to find the relationships that are not hard, but we shouldn't stop looking.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, because I am actually an introverted person. Like, I love my alone time. It allows me to feel connected with spirit and, you know, to regroup, etc. But I know that, you know, sometimes I have to force myself a little bit to get out there because my introverted tendencies will resist that. But as soon as I get out there and do it, it's one of the most fulfilling things. So, yeah, we definitely need that. If somebody's – I've known people who've really isolated themselves and become quite depressed. And sometimes they're doing that because they feel like they're picking up on everybody else's stuff so much, and they just want to hide away from that. They don't want to feel all this negativity or whatever. But by doing that, by isolating, they're missing out on the joy of life as well. You know, and so, yeah, it's important for sure.
I remember when I first was on my own again after 17 years of marriage. I remember the uncomfortable, exciting newness and having to relearn who I was as an individual versus a couple.
Yeah.
And it's quite a ride, isn't it, to relearn who you are and relearn the things that you like. And it's kind of bizarre. You're like, oh, well, because you get into habits. You get into habits because you're cohabitating. And it's like, no, I don't want to eat at the dinner table tonight. I want to sit on the floor and read a book and eat. You know, there's not this pressure to do something that you used to do because that was part of the cohabitation process that you had before. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of neat, even if you're still in a relationship with somebody, to step outside of that relationship and try to know who you are as an individual versus the week, don't you think?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I mean, because we do pick up on other people's energy so easily. So when you're in that really intimate relationship of a marriage or a close relationship like that, you start picking up on the other person's habits and tendencies. And, well, I know I did and took it on as mine. And so that contract ending in my life has been a real catalyst for a lot of inner growth for me. And like you say, to discover who I really am and what I enjoy doing and what my purpose is about. But it was a shift to the identity. You know, it was quite disconcerting at first. As much as I knew deep down it was definitely the right thing for all concerned, it becomes very habitual to, you know, think of yourself as a we instead of an I. I mean, I was married for 15 years, you know. So, but these things happen for a reason when we need them to. And then there's other people that just stay married for their life and that's beneficial for them. Like, I agree with you that we're, at the end of the day, we come in alone and we go out alone. It doesn't mean we have to spend time alone, but we're really, loyalty to self is really important. And we're taught in our society to do for everybody else instead of ourselves.
We have about 10 seconds left before the show ends. It goes by so incredibly fast. Melissa, tell us one last time where we can find you so that we can continue the conversation.
Yeah, they can find me at communicatewithangels.com.
You are amazing. Big virtual hugs to you. Thank you so much for spending time in Living in Thriving Land. You are just a beautiful soul. Big hugs.
Big hugs back. Thank you so much.
All right, love bug. You're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty. We've got like 4 seconds left. It's going to cut me off. Oh, no. Go out and do something fun. Dance. Sing. Buy somebody a cup of coffee. Go have great sex. Whatever it is that's going to make you smile today, go do it and do it now.
Whoa.